Now, In the Huddle with Coach Calls Timeout. I'm your host, Dan Jonker. Welcome to episode number 34. We're continuing with our segment called The First Quarter. It's a 12-minute podcast for basketball coaches. We're cramming a lot of information into this episode. We're talking about tryouts. Myself and my brothers Brian and Brady dish out some tips on running your youth and high school team tryouts during this first quarter episode. We'll leave it to you to take your team to the promised land for the final three quarters. Let's get to it. Brian, you have an interesting or unique perspective on tryouts. Obviously, coaching college, you've been recruiting kids. You know 95% of who your team is going to be before tryouts even begin. So Brady and I have heard stories of how quickly tryouts kind of get dwindled down to 20 guys, I guess, within half an hour or so. Let's talk from a youth coaching perspective. What are you looking for while you run tryouts? Are you running drills? Are you just letting them flat out play and see who can play? What's the first thing that you do?
First thing I'm going to do today is point out that you just made up a word, dwindle.
I said dwindle. I corrected myself.
You're worried about the word. I didn't even make up a word last week and you said I did. Now you're making words up. So dwindle.
Dwindle, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, for my daughter's team, we had her group through grades, fifth grades through eighth grade, so we had them for 4 years. Yeah, tryouts are significantly different from the aspect of giving more of an opportunity and more of a look. They're very young, obviously, so in a lot of cases, you're looking for potential, you're looking for attitude, you're looking for hustle, you're looking for... Not that you wouldn't look for some of those things at older ages as well, but the skill might not be as defined at the younger ages. So you're looking for different things. The biggest difference, though, I think, is in the actual selection and how you release or cut people, if you will. Our organization had a letter that you handed out, and coming from, you know, having only coached varsity, high school, or collegiate, I thought the letter, you know, the first time I got the letter, saw the letter, I thought, I'm not handing a letter out. That's so impersonal. It's terrible. But the realization is that the theory behind the letter was that you'd give it to the parents and tell them to open it up when they got home so that the parents were able to digest and pass on the message to the kid based on how they felt the kid needed the message to be passed on, knowing your own child. Whereas at the older ages, I mean, I sit down, I look a guy in the face and say, listen, I'm sorry, but you don't actually, you know, you're not meeting the requirements. And for whatever reason, we're going to pass on you.
But so when you make that, or when you have that discussion with somebody face to face, do you give them things to improve upon for next year? Or do you just kind of say, sorry, it's not in the cards this year for you?
The face to face, sometimes it turns into, you know, because the person might say, well, what can I do? You know, I'm going to come back next year. I'm going to try again. Are there things I can work on? And at that stage, yeah, there's, you know, I'm going to offer my honest opinion to them. But if they don't ask, I typically don't bring that sort of thing up. Like you said, 90% of my team's already made before this. So you're trying out to be on a walk-on position. But Brady and I, you know, when the girls got to the eighth grade, I thought, geez, you know, they're old enough now. I don't need to give them a letter. I can, you know, the man-to-man or man-to-woman process, I can look them in the eye and say, listen, I'm sorry. Oh, what a mistake that was. The first person I did that, she started crying like you would not believe. And I thought, oh my God, what the hell have I done here?
So you're a fan of the letter now.
Oh, very much so a fan of the letter. I think her parents to this day probably hate my guts. And I've scarred their kid for life because I told them they weren't good enough. And probably as I do in the podcast here, I stammer on sometimes. So when the things got worse and she started crying, I probably didn't help the situation any. You don't know how to get out of it at that point. It was, it was uncomfortable.
If you're kind of recommending a letter, what goes in that letter? What kind of information goes in it?
I think it was relatively straightforward. You know, we thank you for your interest and for trying out, but unfortunately at this stage, we don't feel that your child is in the top 12, and if you'd like further you know, further information or you want to find out what needs to be worked on, feel free to contact the coach. And then it had my number or something. I think that's basically the way it went.
Yeah.
I never had anybody call me after the fact. And again, it was grade six, well, five, six, and seven. I tried to do it on my own in grade eight. And like I said, that it wasn't good.
Brady, what kind of things would you look for in terms of kind of back end bench players? Are you looking for talent maybe that could be developed throughout the year? Maybe somebody's raw and hasn't played much basketball and you think, well, by the end of the year, they could be, you know, 8th, 9th, 10th player. Or are you looking for somebody who's, you know, working hard, attitude is right, and you know that they're going to be happy to sit at the end of the bench, but they're also going to make people better in practice? What do you value more?
A lot of that's definitely important. I guess for me, one of the things at a tryout, looking at fundamentals, especially in the younger age, when you're at a tryout, you can run a game, but if someone doesn't have that, you know, mentality of go get them, or they're shy and they're a little nervous, they might not stand out in a game. But something that's, you know, really important at ages, you know, anywhere from like 8 to 12 years old is where are their fundamentals? Because if they have, you know, the core fundamentals, you can develop everything else around that. They may not stand out the first few times you see them in a scrimmage, but you know, if they're right hand, left hand layups, they can dribble with both hands okay. They may, you know, throughout the year, they'll start to stand out a little more in practice. And they might go from your 12th man or lady to being your 6th or 7th player, maybe even a starter. We've had that happen. Development is important over the years. I think fundamentals are the most important thing between the young ages, and everything else comes from the fundamentals. So
yeah. So would you recommend kind of running drills as well throughout tryouts instead of, you know, just here's a ball, 10 people get going?
I think that the fundamentals at a tryout are probably more important than the scrimmage, especially in the first hour. If you just come in the gym and you put teams together and run a scrimmage without seeing who's fundamentally sound, you might put together the five best players unintentionally if you've never coached that team. And now you've got the five best against, you know, your back end five, and those back end five aren't going to stand out when they're playing against the five best players. So if you run a tryout, you know, you spend the first hour running fundamentals, you get an idea of who's a little more fundamentally sound, and it gives you an opportunity to put together maybe some fair teams in the scrimmage. And then, you know, the proper girls are matched up against each other, and they can stand out a little more at the tryout for you, and you can see what they're capable of.
Yeah, I agree. The fundamental aspect, especially in youth basketball, when you're doing the tryouts, you can look at two things. Look at the footwork and the fundamentals that they have. But you can also, that's where you find out who's going to work hard, who's going to have a positive attitude, just by watching skill development type drills.
In general, the idea of a scrimmage is overused, especially in the youth age. You know, you go look at a house league and they're doing fundamentals for the first 20 or 30 minutes and they're playing games for, you know, an hour. And it should be the other way around. Fundamentals, you can't play a real game if you don't have the proper fundamentals. And if you're in a house league, you're never going to develop to be able to play at that rep level if all you're doing is running around playing a scrimmage with people who don't really even know the rules. I think that the focus on fundamentals is sometimes underutilized, and I think needs to be focused much more on as coaches.
Yeah, I agree. So to close out this conversation, Brian, we've kind of talked about fundamentals and watching people, and, you know, you kind of have to watch them a little bit longer for the kids that may be shy or they're a little more timid to start with until they get comfortable. How long do you run tryouts for? Do you do it for a set time, like you want to go for 3 or 4 practices?
At the younger ages, I think you do need to give them more of an opportunity. You know, there's lots of people there, I'm sure, that you maybe haven't seen before or have seen very little of. So giving them at least a couple of full practices, everybody, is probably a fair thing to do. And at that point, you might be able to, would you say, twiddle down?
Twiddle?
Yeah, you can twiddle the numbers down a little bit from there and probably give another practice or two or three to another group of people when you're trying to select between 3 and 4 people. At the younger ages, the more you see them, the more you'll get a real sense for, you know, how much potential they have. And like Brady said, the fundamental side is really a key. But I also believe that sometimes in the scrimmage portion of these types of things is still important, in that you can sense instincts in a scrimmage that you might not get in just in fundamental drills. But
in those second and third kind of tryouts, you can maybe hold out the better players that you are clearly better. You don't need to see as much from them anymore. And then you can get a better look at, you know, players 6 through 20 and kind of get a better understanding of who the actual best 12, 15, however many you're keeping are.
Yeah, when I'm doing my college guys, I don't even let my recruits and my returning players play with anyone until we're down to, you know, 6 or 7 walk-ons for 4 spots or something like that.
Yeah.
I think there's a greater chance for injury if you saw some of the people that come out for walk-on spots. But I also think it's just not necessary, and you'd rather try and, you know, reduce the numbers without using the guys you already know are going to be on the team.
If you want to add to this discussion, just leave us a comment at coachcallstimeout.com/34. Let us know if you have any great tips for running tryouts. If you like what you heard today, please share it with another coach. And while you're at it, let them know about coachcallstimeout.com. We have over 200 free plays, drills, practice plans, and tips for coaches of all ages and skill levels. No registration or logins, just get right into it. We look forward to coming back at you next Monday for another 12-minute coaching-related discussion. See you then.